My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And our eyes are on our email accounts because I am waiting for, at 4:04 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the email from the Washington Commanders that says who did or didn't make the roster. And we don't have it yet, despite the fact that the deadline to make that decision came 4 minutes ago. We know a lot of cuts already from what has been reported, and I would say there is one that stands out as pretty shocking to me. Everything else I would say is expected. I know that there are some others that perhaps are shocking to other people. I would tell you that you should listen to this show and you wouldn't be as shocked about it, like Martavis Bryant. But Anthony, the one that is shocking to me so far is KJ Henry. The fifth round pick from 2023 has been waived by the Commanders, certainly a practice squad candidate, and he'll be on someone's team, whether it's practice squad here or practice squad or frankly even a waiver claim somewhere else. I thought he was one of their best guys in the preseason, maybe their single best guy in the preseason games when you combine the, you know, guys that actually played snaps with quality of those snaps. Obviously, that doesn't mean that he should have been the favorite number one, slated defensive end, just like Dorrance Armstrong didn't play a whole lot. So of the guys that actually played a lot of snaps, I thought he was the most consistent one. He consistently got pressure. He's in the backfield. He rushes hard. He plays hard. He chases things down. Like, that dude fits, even though he was drafted by the previous regime, fits everything that this regime wanted. And I thought that he had elevated himself above the fray, above Jamin Davis, above Javonte Jean-Baptiste, above Andre Jones Jr. Jones Jr. cut as well. It looks like Davis and Jean-Baptiste are on as we speak now. We're waiting again for that email any moment now that announces the full list of cuts. But I think what's interesting is we are now down to 2 players, Emmanuel Forbes and Quan Martin, from last year's draft class. And it is pretty clear that Adam Peters is building a long-term project here, and the pieces that he feels like he needs for this long-term project were not the same things that Ron Rivera and his staff were looking for. And last year, man, what an absolute failure. And we don't need to go back and rehash and relitigate it, but I think that the problem or the perspective that is worth stating out loud, Anthony, is it is really, really hard to build something if you completely miss a year in the NFL. And only guy in a single draft class to stick with a team for 2 years. Like, we're in 1 year right now. 1 year. The start of year 2. And we're down to 2 guys. And depending on how Forbes goes this year and his camp, certainly warranted him being on the team. He got better as it went, but we know that it's a mixed bag and we know he's not going to be perfect this year. Maybe he turns out to ultimately be that stud that he was drafted to be as a first rounder, but I think that most of us would bet against that. And Quan, like, for as much as I like Quan, It's not like he's going to be an all-pro this year. And so to just completely whiff on a draft class, like, is so hard to build that way. And it sets you back. And in some ways, it should, in our eyes from the outside, buy Adam Peters almost an extra year, because there is coming in with the cupboard being, you know, bare, what we traditionally think of as a cupboard bare in the NFL. And then there is, we literally have no one entering their second season outside of two DBs that can help us, to the point that not just they won't play for us, that they can even stay on the team. That is brutal. That is a brutal, brutal reality that Adam Peters inherited. And I don't think he came in thinking that. Not that he like wouldn't have taken the job or anything. Like, I, to be clear, I don't think that Adam Peters took the job in January and was like, I cannot wait to clear these dudes out. I think he was like, I am going to get in here. I know what I think of a lot of these guys, but I'm hoping to be pleasantly surprised. I'm hoping they take to our coaching. I'm hoping that when I get to watch them work, that we see something that maybe we didn't see on tape or is different or whatever. And it wasn't there. And now every single one of them but the two first round picks are gone. The only other guy that's around from the 2023 draft, this just in, John Keim reporting that John Ridgeway has made the roster. I know that there are some trades that are being worked on for him potentially. I heard rumors of one specifically, but I haven't been able to confirm it yet. So we'll see if he is here by next week. But shoot, Dan Quinn was a part of the group in Dallas that helped draft John Ridgeway, and then they cut him last year. We're on pace, potentially, for Dan Quinn to be a part of half the number of draft picks from the 2023 draft that Ron Rivera was for the team that Rivera coached at the time when Quinn was the defensive coordinator at a division rival. That's the reality, Anthony. That's where we are.
Yeah, it's not a great place to be. And
hashtag analysis.
Not a great place to be, but also I just don't think we can, you know, overlook or overstate, you know, Adam Peters' initial thoughts on what the roster was. But it also just, it makes me laugh at, you know, what Ron Rivera thought of, you know, the team, and how he thought, you know, more than half of the team was still going to be here, and we should send him a ring if, you know, the people he drafted and brought in were going to be foundational pieces for our success. I just can't, you know, get that, you know, that quote, that statement out of my mind.
I laugh at it every single time one of his dudes gets cut. And I hate that, because, like, it's really not about Ron. It's not about that. It's about the players. And it's a really tough day across the NFL. You got guys like Bryson Tremaine played really, really hard all camp long and did a lot of really good stuff, and he got cut today. You had a lot of dudes that really, really gave it their all. I mean, Chris Rodriguez, I feel terrible for Chris Rodriguez. Like, he's a good back. He belongs in the NFL, but he doesn't fit what they want here, and he's going to have to either be on practice squad and hope that he gets another opportunity or go find a job somewhere else. And, you know, he'll wind up in the league. Like, he'll be on someone's practice squad. He's a fifth-round pick last year, and he showed well as a rookie. But, like, we say that, like, oh, he'll wind up somewhere. Like, moving sucks.
Yep.
You know, you get drafted somewhere, you think you're going to be there at least 3-4 years. Now, Chris Rodriguez, 1 year out of college, you know, he's probably 23 years old or something like that. Like, think about what life was like at 23. You pack up, leave. Like, yeah, he gets to play NFL football, but now he's got to go try to latch on somewhere where he hasn't been around the entire offseason. Or, you know, if he gets lucky, he'll be on the practice squad here, and at least he doesn't have to uproot his life. But, like, this is real life for folks. But for Ron's part of it, and that comment, it just is, it's one of the most arrogant things anyone has ever said. And to me, like, arrogance crosses into, like, confidence that's unfounded, right? It's one, oh, what's the difference between confidence and arrogance? Confidence is correct. Arrogance is incorrect. Arrogance is, I'm the best, and you go out and you compete and you get your ass kicked all the time. And for Rivera to think that Sam Howell and 40 guys that he drafted were going to go be the next Commanders dynasty, and he was just going to be unlucky to not be at the head of it. Buddy, no on all fronts. You ain't that good of a coach. You weren't that good of, you were obviously a horrendous general manager and just a legacy of, like, a legacy of mediocrity would be overstating it. And it just, it always bothered me, the arrogance that that administration and that organization, or that the people here at that time operated with. And now it's not a problem anymore. And the more purging of that that happens, the less that we have to keep going back to it and talk about it. But on a day where they cut almost an entire draft class from last year, it's worth pointing out, in the credit of Adam Peters, to just be like, yeah, that ain't it. We're gonna move on. And again, it speaks to the depth of the hole they are trying to dig out of. It's a good reminder in some ways going into this season that this could possibly be a hard year, even though the excitement's there. There's going to be a lot of really positive things. I don't know that it's going to lead to a, it doesn't mean it's going to lead to a 10-win season, because the talent gap they were trying to fill was so, so immense. But if they got this year's draft class right, then they can kind of undo some of that from last year. But that's the journey we embark on starting next weekend in Tampa. All right, when we get back, hopefully we'll actually have the full 53. We'll also run down some of the rest of the cuts. Dan Quinn also slated to speak at 4:30. We will carry that for you live here on The Hoffman Show. It's The Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are waiting the official roster. My guess is Commander's PR will send it right before Dan Quinn gets to the podium, which is scheduled to be for 4:30. So we are keeping our eye out for DQ. When that beautiful bald head gets to the podium, we will let you hear it here on the Team 980. Also, tomorrow, Adam Peters' press conference. That'll be the end of Russell's show, possibly bleeding into the start of ours. We'll have full reaction from Adam Peters tomorrow. Lance Newmark speaks on Thursday, the assistant GM. So also programming scheduled tomorrow. We will record Take Command in the afternoon after the practice squads are released. So things are fluid right now. But here's what we know in terms of where things stand. The latest updates as we await more cuts. The Commanders are releasing Trace McSorley. Multiple reports, including our pal Mitch Tischler, reporting that. Mitch is going to join us coming up at 5 o'clock, and we have an announcement with Mitch as well. But, so McSorley out, but impressed a lot of people with how he handled himself and how he performed through this, this process the last couple of weeks. And so there's a really great chance that Trace McSorley is on the practice squad. The other big one that came through recently is John Ridgeway, as we told you at the end of the last segment. He's going to be on the team for now, although to read directly from Kime, key will be, is he on there at this time Wednesday? Washington will continue to be active looking for players. They know there's a market for Ridgeway. So that is where we are now. Some other former Commanders that are worth noting around the league. Taylor Heinicke has made it in Atlanta. He had apparently said a couple weeks ago he saw the, quote, writing on the wall, but he sticks on the Falcons' initial 53-man roster. Some other names that I kind of chuckled at as we were talking about the Rivera lackluster everything. Nick Gates, who they signed, of course, last year and was a starter for them, got cut today by the Eagles. Nick Gates, who has now played for three of the four teams in the NFC East, jolly big fella. Also, John Ross was in camp with them, the former holder of the record of the 40 time at the combine. He got cut by the Eagles today. Oren Burks, veteran linebacker. Will Greer. So a couple of guys there of note. Jalen Guyton, wide receiver, cut by the Raiders. Basically, any wide receiver that I've heard of gets cut, I'm like, ooh, I wonder. Patrick out of Denver, Tim Patrick, is definitely one to watch for the Commanders, potentially. Vikings have waived former first-round pick from 2020, Louis Cine, the safety. They had talks with other teams, weren't able to land on an agreement. Then the other big commander story, actually, that just dropped 2 minutes ago. I think Keim was first on this, but Nikki and Standig and everybody reporting it as well. The Commanders are going to replace, and we called this yesterday, Anthony. This is on our 53-player roster projection. Jordan McGee to IR. So the linebacker will miss the first four games of the regular season, the rookie. I really wonder what that means for the linebacker depth. Do they keep Anthony Pittman to start? Do they go find someone somewhere else? But or do they just do what we did yesterday and keep four to start? And that opens up spots. But with guys like KJ Henry not making the team, that definitely makes the math a little bit different. 301-230-0980 is our phone number. Let's get a call real quick before we take an early break here and then come back in time to ensure that we get all of Dan Quinn. Let's go to Mark in Largo. Mark, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show.
What's up, Craig? How you doing, my friend? What's going on?
What's up, Mark?
I was just telling the caller, man, that I think the move I would do if I was Washington before anything would be I would make a trade for Devontae Adams. And here's the reason why I would do that. I think it would be cheaper for them to get him than it would be to get Brandon Ayuk. Plus, Devontae's probably played in the preseason, so him changing teams wouldn't be that much of a big difference. Here's the other thing, too. I'm not knocking Brandon Ayuk. But you need someone on this team who can get 50-50 balls. You have a tall quarterback, and I think Devontae's like, what, 6'2", 6'3"? He would be someone that can get 50-50 balls if he lobs it up there. Not saying Terry can't, but it would make the receiving core, it would give a spark to the receiving core where you would slide Deami at the third spot where he's playing, in, you know, which is where Jahan Dotson's playing. That other spot, which he's coming out, it won't be so much pressure on him. It'll be more pressure on those two, and Deami can get more open looks going stretch out and stuff like that. I just think it would be better. Do you see a trade like that happening for the team or T. Higgins? Or T. Higgins for that matter.
Yeah, T. Higgins definitely not because he wants a fresh new contract that's going to be – like he's younger, stupid money. I'm guessing Devontae probably wants, you know, a lot of money, but maybe it's a little bit shorter term and –
he's going to be a cap hit. This is why I think the Raiders are probably trying to move on. He's going to be a $44 million cap hit in March next year. So I'm thinking the Raiders are really trying to move him now.
Well, they're still going to have to eat a lot of dead money the way the bonuses work and all that kind of stuff. Here's what I would say about Devontae. You're never going to tell me that trading for Devontae Adams is a terrible idea because he might be the best receiver in football still. Like Justin Jefferson's probably got something to say about that. JJ's the best guy in football, but Devontae still might be second. He's up there with Jamar Chase and CD. So I hear you on that. My thing with all of these guys, though, and the kind of general vision in terms of long-term versus short-termism and all this, Mark, is if you don't let the Deami Browns of the world play, and this is also my argument at corner why you don't bring in Stephon Gilmore, for instance. If you don't let these guys play, you don't know what you have. And so are they a better football team this year? If Stephon Gilmore was signed and Devontae Adams or Brandon Ayuk or T. Higgins, any of these dudes are traded for, 100%. Does it help you understand how good of a football team you can be 3 years from now? And if the answer is no, I'm not interested. Because realistically, in the NFL, history of the NFL, no team has ever won a Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback. And I love Jaden Daniels, but I don't think that's going to happen this year.
Okay, and that's fine, Craig. I hear you on that. But look at what they're doing in Chicago, man. I mean, look, Caleb has an all-star receiving core around him. And if he doesn't do well this year, then that could be something on him. But you got to make it easy. Here's my biggest fear. I hear what you're saying. But this is what I don't want Jaden to have to feel like he has to do. Because he has a diminished receiving core, you start acting like Robert used to act. You have to do everything because you don't have the talent around you. You also got to get talent around your quarterback, too, Craig. You just can't sit up and say, oh, well, we're just going to do this and see what happens and make everything happen.
Mark, I hear you. And Mark, I got to cut you off because, one, the roster just came in, and two, DQ is about to go to the podium here in a few seconds. So we got to break a little bit early. But I appreciate the call. And, you know, if you want to call back in later this week and we can have this discussion, this is a good one. I appreciate the call. I'll just quickly wrap up and say this. I trust the infrastructure around Jaden Daniels to not make him feel like that. And one of the quotes that really stuck out to me from Dan Quinn when he named him the starter was, we told him he doesn't have to be the leader of this team. We got Bobby Wagner. We got Zach Ertz. Like, this isn't Robert 2.0 where Dan Snyder was like, look at our star. Like, that's not what they did here. Jaden Daniels' job is to play quarterback, and that's it. And part of playing quarterback for this team this year is going to be doing a lot of turning around and handing the football off. Because they know they've got to insulate him. They know their offensive line isn't good. This isn't Ron Rivera, who thinks he has a Super Bowl contender with a 4-win roster. This is a realistic group. And I think that goes a long way. And yes, Chicago's doing it very differently. And I'm pretty fascinated by the Chicago versus Washington experiment. But I think it's also important to remember that both can work. There is no right way to do this. There are wrong ways to do it, but there is no one singular right way. And I actually think that the approaches that both Washington and Chicago were taking might be right for their guys with their rosters at this point in their trajectories with what else they had entering their respective projects with the first and second picks in this draft. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And when we get back, Dan Quinn, live from Ashburn.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Any moment now, Dan Quinn will be live at the podium. We will take you there, obviously. The Commanders 53 is out, and coming up in about an hour, Anthony and I will look back at the 53 that we predicted yesterday, and we got like 40, high 40s right. We actually we're pretty freaking accurate on a lot of the things that we did. And the couple that we missed, Ant, actually were some that we kind of said, like, I might do this a little differently and we should have more trust in ourselves. For instance, at the tight end position, Cole Turner got cut. Colson Yankoff made it. That was one that I was just leaning harder into yesterday, and I don't think we actually put it down. And I wish that we did. Because then I could brag today about being right on Colson Yankoff.
Yeah, he's one, but also the fact that they kept a third quarterback.
They did, which was you were on that. I should have, you know.
I like Jeff. Dang, I can't even say his name.
He likes Jeff Driscoll.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean Driscoll. It's funny because I got a lot of like YouTube comments today that were like, "I'll keep McSorley over Driscoll," and I was like, "What? Why are you all?" Why do you insist on being wrong so loudly on the internet? Trace McSorley did a really, really, really nice job against fourth stringers. Jeff Driscoll, like, did an all right job against the Patriots' first string. Different bit. Like, different level of test. And Driscoll was just really solid. I think, because it's also funny, Anthony, you have some of the same people that were like, keep Driscoll over Mariota. And it's like, no. But I also realize, in fairness to everyone listening, that you know, you got a job you got to do. You're driving home right now or whatever you're doing while you're listening. It's our job to go to practice and watch, and we're lucky in that way that we get to go. And I tell you, from practice, Jeff Driscoll did a really nice job. And it's fairly obvious that he's ahead of Hartman and of ahead of McSorley. But I think both those guys could wind up on the practice squad. So going to be interesting to see. The one that we did miss at the end, we were down to a couple of different guys for a last spot. And I think we leaned into Tariq Castro Field.
Yeah.
At corner, he did not wind up making the roster, and which I thought might open a spot for Chigozie Anuzium. However, that's not the direction they went. They went a little thinner at corner, and Derek Forrest did make the team, which I'm really, really happy for Defoe. He's a great dude. We talked to him in the spring, and I think that he's a guy that can play multiple safety spots, and I think especially with Dominique Hampton being moved to linebacker, then it kind of opens up a potential spot for Defoe where it's pretty clear they trust him if, you know, say Jeremy Chinn goes down. Defoe's your most direct replacement in terms of a guy who has experience, although Tyler Owens does, as we predicted, and everybody, I think, did by the end. Tyler Owens does make the roster as well. So it'd be curious to know what the depth chart is there, but we'll, you know, hopefully it's also something that we don't necessarily have to find out. Because those guys are, you know, everyone ahead of them is healthy. Percy Butler, Quan Martin, Chin, Jeremy Reeves does make it as well. So they're pretty loaded up at safety. Wagner, Luvu, Fowler, Michael Walker at linebacker, along with Dominique Hampton. They list Dante Fowler for whatever reason. He's an edge, but they list him at linebacker. It's a thing that they've done all spring and summer. Cleland Furl, Dorrance Armstrong, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, and Jamin Davis. They kept JJB and Jamin. Thought that would happen. For right now, they've kept the two defensive tackles as well, Mathis and Ridgeway, along with Newton, Allen, and Payne. Along the offensive line, the one guy that we, I guess, missed on by the end was Trent Scott. You know, thought he might wind up on IR, but apparently whatever he's got is okay. To the point that he does make the roster. So we got the number right, I believe, Anthony, but not the we got the number right, but not the guys. We were what is that, 8 of 9?
On the line. So which lineman did we have in place of him?
We had
good people. Julian.
Oh yeah, we had Julian Good-Jones who didn't make it, but is a definite practice squad candidate. We nailed the receiving core. McLaurin, yep. Brown, McCaffrey, Zacchaeus, Crowder, and Pringle.
And boy, Pringle.
And then, I mean, that's a for now, though. That's a big time for now. Yep. Ertz, Bates, Sinnott, Yankoff. Running backs, Robinson, Eckler, McNichols. And then, as we mentioned, at quarterback, they got Daniels, Mariota, and Driscoll. So, tomorrow, 1 o'clock, is the deadline for the waiver wire, which is also the deadline for the practice squad. A lot of good players, obviously, now spend the next 21 hours on the phones with their agents, talking about the opportunities that are ahead of them. I will say, Anthony, on the practice squad front, you're always better off staying where you spent the spring. Yeah, you might have an offer somewhere else and it might be feel really nice in the moment to be like, screw you guys, you cut me, I'm going somewhere else. I'm going to go join their practice squad. Ah, and they might even sell you on something good because their GM really liked you in the draft or whatever. Or someone really likes you. But you know the playbook here. You've spent time here. You have relationships here. In a situation where you can get called up 3 times to the active roster through the year, you could be one injury away from playing. And if you're going to play, don't you want to be somewhere where you've got experience, where you know the players around you, where you have that? And all you're going to do is practice mostly as a, what you call it? Not a practice squad, but I mean, obviously a practice squad, scout team guy in another place. So you're never going to practice your own playbook. I would rather stay where I'm at if I can. Some of the guys that have already, been kind of rumored to come back include some of the running backs, which, by the way, not just Wiley and Rodriguez that are potential practice squad guys here, but Austin Jones, who was with Cliff last year at USC. He got released today and could be coming back on the practice squad. Some of the receivers, obviously, I'd have to think if they could bring like Cole Turner back. That feels like a no-brainer to kind of fill out their tight end room, although there's a couple guys around the league that you potentially have an eye on. So that's the status. Anthony, we're still waiting for Dan Quinn somehow.
Yeah, I'm looking down at my phone. I got my watch on, so it's telling me to let me know anytime I get a notification. So I'm just constantly, every notification. Yeah, I definitely thought, you know, he'd be out by now.
What's the point of having a schedule if, you know, you don't follow it?
Yeah, I'm constantly.
Apparently he's talking, so.
Oh, are you serious?
I do not. I'm seeing quotes, Anthony.
He's not on Twitter. I guess they're on live streaming it.
Are they on? Oh, there might be a Zoom link of some kind. Tell you what. Let's.
Wow.
Well, let's just keep talking amongst ourselves, and we'll see if we can get the recording of DQ / seeing if we can find the live link for that. But other names around the league / other things to note. Kaz Allen did not make the team. Called that one. Everyone was on the Kaz Allen train late. I understand why, but I was just like, eventually he's got to make a play. He didn't. Broncos released three receivers that I think are all interesting for Washington, potentially two more specifically. Tim Patrick, big guy, had a really productive year a couple years ago, but then tore his Achilles, then tore his ACL. So like nasty injury history, but he had a really nice camp and was kind of a surprise cut out there in Denver. They also released Lil Jordan Humphrey, who's made some plays in the league, and David Sills. Sills, if I'm thinking of the right guy, like he's a big dude. Am I thinking of the right guy, Ant?
Yeah, I think you are. Big dude, fast dude?
I don't know about fast, but David Sills, receiver.
He's tall.
No, I don't.
6'3".
Yeah, he's a bigger target, played it. At West Virginia. Yeah, I am thinking of the right guy. Wilmington, Delaware kid. But yeah, man, started as a college quarterback, moved to wide receiver, and he's very tall. So all these big, tall receivers around the league that get released, definitely keep an eye on that. It's just a explainer, because I'm a former beat reporter and I know these types of things. The Commanders are second on the waiver wire, so they will have the opportunity to claim a player, basically any player that they want, that Carolina doesn't want, is the one team ahead of them on the waiver wire. However, once they have that claim go through and they use up their spot, then they go down to the bottom. So it's not like they're second on every single player. They will prioritize their waiver claims, and the NFL then processes all that by 1 o'clock tomorrow. Anybody that goes unclaimed is eligible to be on the practice squad, and we'll see how that comes together over the next 20-something hours. But then again, you could also have a trade. You could also have other stuff that happens. So hold on to your butts, everybody. We'll see if we can get the Dan Quinn audio for you. If we don't get it live up and going here, then we will do something. We'll see if we can hunt that audio down by 6 o'clock and play some of it for you then. Mitch Tischler coming up at 5, but we'll definitely get you some of the quotes from Quinn and discuss what he's saying out from Ashburn next. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the team 980 and always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Cut down day continues here on the Hoffman Show. Anthony, you made the roster. Hey! He was never in doubt. Never in doubt. Who would get? Actually, that's a road we don't want to go down. Joke cuts from the team 980. I feel like feelings could get hurt.
Ah, yeah, that would be bad. That would be bad, Mr. Hoffman.
That's why we're cutting Ryan Clary from 106.7. I'm just kidding. Just kidding, Ryan. He's down there. He doesn't know that happened. But one of you will be a snitch and and tweeted to him. And I say, be my guest, because it was a funny joke. All right. Ongoing coverage from Ashburn. We'll get Mitch Tischler live here coming up at 5 o'clock after Dan Quinn gets done speaking. This stat from Steve Wino, just to kind of drive home one of the big points of the day. Washington drafted 33 players during Ron Rivera's time in charge. There are 12 left, Anthony. 12.
12 is insane. Can you name all 12?
Ooh, that's a great challenge. Jamin Davis, Emmanuel Forbes, Quan Martin, Sam Cosmi. Because it's not pre, or Wino's messed up. But I don't think we're talking about like pre-Rivera guys. Goodness gracious. Terry was before Diami. Any of the tight ends? No. Did any of the back? Chris Paul? Was he drafted? Was he a UDFA? I think he was drafted. So Chris Paul made it. That's six. So I've got half of them.
Yep.
Let's see. Big Phil made it. Ridgeway doesn't count because he wasn't drafted by Rivera. I gave you BSJ. I gave you Forbes already. I don't think any of the corners. Defoe.
I was about to say.
I gave you Quan already.
No, that's nine.
That's nine.
Yeah.
Hey, the linebackers? No, because I gave you Jamin already. Do you know who the other three are that are missing? Because are you looking at it?
Brian Robinson.
Oh, B-Rob. Yeah, I was about to say, I miss running back.
That's 10.
And
then you got?
John Bates at tight end.
Oh, yep.
And then?
11.
I feel like I'm missing one of the linemen. Okay, now I'm going to have to look at the roster because now we're getting into bad radio territory. Nope.
Oh, Jamin Davis.
I said Jamin.
Oh, you did?
I said Jamin off the top.
Oh, you did say those three.
Dieter, Biotis, Allegretti, Wiley. Nope, it's not one of them. John and Duran predate him. Mathis, Farrell, no. Fowler and Walker, nope. Forbes, nope. Already said him. Percy Butler. That's who I was missing.
Oh, Percy. Ah.
So good job, Wino. Wino's correct. There's 12. Worth pointing out. That was a good little test.
Yeah.
Just, you know, as we look around the rest of the league, specifically at positions where the Commanders could use help. If there's one team that you wanted to know who some of their veteran cuts were, Anthony, who would it be?
Veteran cuts?
Yeah.
Guys
drafted perhaps by Adam Peterson. The San Francisco 49ers.
I was about to say the 49ers.
They let go of a couple offensive linemen, Ben Bartsch and Chris Hubbard. Not really sure about them. Robbie Chosen, a.k.a. formerly Robbie Anderson.
Oh, did he make the team?
T.Y. McGill, defensive lineman. They let go one of their tight ends. Trent Taylor at wide receiver. Our old pal Logan Thomas let go. Tracy Walker III, Nick Williams. And then Rakia Sin let go at corner. So
corner, yep.
If anybody from that list floats your boat, perhaps Adam Peters could be looking around there.
What do you most think, or what position do you most think we would be able to get out of the waiver wire? Or like, you know, what position do you think they were? Cause I would say linemen, but I don't think good linemen are going to be floating in, you know, the waiver wire kind of thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. So like positionally, it does feel like potentially an interior swing guy. If you can get a veteran, you know, because I don't think Dieter had a very good summer.
Yeah.
But you keep him around because he's played and you know he's not going to freeze up in a big game. Like, he's capable. And I think the other thing, too, is Collinsworth talked about this the other night on the broadcast. You have Biotis as a veteran center specifically in part because you don't want a young guy with a young quarterback. You want part of that battery to be veteran. And so if, God forbid, something happens to Biotis, Dieter, at the very least, is a veteran who's seen some stuff. So if there's another veteran center that becomes available, that you think is an upgrade on Dieter, do you make that switch? And I would say the answer should be yes, based off of how they operate. In the name of everything is competition. I think receiver is definitely interesting because you have one bullet to fire. You have one guy that you know you can get on the waiver wire as that second claim order before you have to then wait in line behind everyone else to claim someone or hope that nobody else claims a certain player. So if I'm going to prioritize my waiver claims, I definitely think that wide receiver is possible if there's a big body type of guy because they wound up not keeping any of those.
Yeah.
And I would say Pringle's probably the last guy in. But I would say O-lineman, wide receiver. And if there's anybody you absolutely love at corner, I could see an argument to be made there. I think those are the positions that I'd probably be looking at.
Yeah, I definitely think receiver, just because we see guys like the Tim Patricks. We see Noah Brown, who when CJ had everybody go down, he was the guy that stepped up, won them a game. Also, when he was in Dallas, he stepped up and won them a game, a couple of games. You got John Mechie floating around as well. No, he made the team, actually.
But he could be a situation like John Ridgeway here where he makes the team, but they're still trying to trade him
kind of thing.
You know a guy has value, then, and you feel pretty confident. If you got two or three trades on the table, you'd be like, hey, well, we don't need to have this arbitrary deadline. Like, one of y'all wants him. So who's going to give us what you want, what we want?
Yeah.
Dan Quinn, by the way, on keeping three quarterbacks. We like this quarterback room. It's such an important position that you want as many guys that are still developing and really pushing. I just think that Jaden Daniels has thrived with all these guys around. And so if they can keep all these guys around, why would they mess with it? Like, why mess with the chemistry of that room? The answer is you don't.
Yeah.
And so they didn't. And not to mention, as JP Finley points out, our colleague on Twitter, that with the preseason injury to Mariota, like, you got a rookie and then you got a guy who's been banged up. And even if Mariota is supposedly okay, what happens if you get into practice next week and he's not? Like, having Driscoll around is good insurance on that. Quinn also saying a little bit ago, says the players on the initial 53 know that there's still a lot of work left as waiver claims come in and there are plenty of roster changes to come. It's not set, but we're starting our 53 with these. So talked about Jamin Davis, talked about a couple of other things. We'll get you more of what Quinn said a little bit later on in the show. Until then, we're going to get more thoughts on the roster, on the initial 53 from our guy Mitch Sichler. He joins us next from Ashburn here on The Hoffman Show.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.